Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, Silverlight Evangelist at Microsoft. And today I've got Laurent Bougnon. Did I say your name right?
That's perfect, man.
Close enough, right?
Yeah, close enough, exactly, yeah.
You can call me Papa John if you like to make fun of me.
No.
So, I'm good. And I think everybody remembers you, or they should remember you from last year.
At, yeah, we had
also
fun, man.
Done Silverlight TV, done Mix, you've done lots of stuff with us before. Laurent and I have had lots of conversations. We both are big fans of architecture and MVVM.
We do.
Silverlight, WPF, data. So we brought
the phone
back on. And the phone.
Yep.
Yes, that little thing that is in my pocket, and I hope I turned off.
Yeah.
I hope my wife doesn't. If you're listening to me, don't call me right now, please. Anyway, so we brought Laurent on, and we had a discussion on what do we talk about? There's so much to go over. And we're going to hit a couple things today. One is he's got some great new features in MVVM Lite, his toolkit for MVVM architecture for phone and Silverlight and WPF, which we're going to go over some of the, I think, my three favorite new features.
Yep,
then we'll talk
up,
a quick about, Laurent's got a poll. He'd like everybody out there to kind of get involved in his project as well. And we'll wrap up a little bit with what's going on at Mix.
Yeah, sure.
Because you've got some things going on yourself.
I'm pretty excited about Mix, yeah.
So I'd like to kind of start things off quickly with the disclaimer I give most folks when they get into MVVM is they first hear about my suggestions. First, learn what MVVM is. And then once you get from what MVVM is, usually people get into what framework do I use? And there's Caliburn, there's Cinch, there's Jounce, there's Prism, there's MVVM Lite toolkit. The biggest difference I see between Laurent's and some of the others is that the toolkit you have isn't really a framework. At least I don't call it that.
That's why I call it a toolkit, actually, exactly for that, exactly to differentiate. Because what I wanted to do from the start is really two IDs, Lite, so that it's not intrusive. So that you can use what you want and you know, discard the rest. And I see a lot of people doing that, by the way. I see a lot of people even just taking a class or two and putting that in their own app, and I'm absolutely fine with that. I want to stay there.
I think I use two classes from yours.
That's perfect. You know, but, no problem at all.
Yeah, we've talked. I use your Messenger and I use your Behavior. You've gotten there. So the event to command, I think it's called.
Event to command,
yes, which I really like.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't. You can use what you want or, or throw away with the rest. Or it's just a nice framework. Sorry,
and I have a super permissive license. So really, because I get a lot of emails actually asking me, hey, I want to do that in a production app. And it's always fine for me, really. The you know, the only disclaimer is if you break something, don't come crying, right? But at the same time, every email is always welcome. So feel free to ask. But yeah, that's the thing.
And I think last year when we talked, one last discussion of a few people have questions. I think at that time is when you first started deferring all your questions to the Stack Overflow.
Exactly. That's a great success, really. And I want to thank the community who answers the questions. I end up answering really the minority of questions because, first of all, time is limited, right?
Right. Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of questions that get posted up
there. Yes, and also because just when I come to the site, most of the time the question is already answered, so I don't need to answer it, right? So that was really a great decision.
So and definitely go to stackoverflow.com if you have questions about this, or I can give everybody his personal phone number and we can just call him.
Right.
Don't tell him. So we should kick off with what's new in MVVM Lite.
Sure. So I'm actually working on version 4, and I have a few things implemented already, a few things coming up, so it's going to be gradual. And what I'm doing is that as soon as I have something which is tested and stable enough, I push it to CodePlex, to the source, not the binaries, but the source, and people are free to download, compile, and you know, give me feedback. So yeah, we have a few things coming up. Actually, it's quite a big list. One thing that's...
Yeah, let's start with the IOC, because we were just talking about I actually hadn't read that on your list before. So what's going on with IOC containers?
So the IOC containers, the idea here is really I want to simplify the view model locator. So the view model locator, we have talked about that many times, right? And right now it's a part of MVVM Lite that I prefer the most, the least, sorry,
least,
that
right.
I really dislike the most. In the sense that it's just too much code, it's too complex, it's confusing, etc. So I want to simplify that.
And I think the
that.
Point for people who haven't used it is if you have, let's say, 100 view models, the view model locator, the code could be, each view model could have, let's say, 15 lines of code.
Yeah, so, about that. Yeah, depending on what you do, cleanup and, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, that could be complicated. So I've been thinking about that a lot, and actually the view model locator is really a repository for view models, right?
Yep.
And that goes really in the sense of having an IOC container somehow. So I did some research. I found a very simple IOC container, which I liked, but it was a little bit too simple for what I want to do, so I'm expanding that a little bit. But I'm really keeping it lean, so it's not a replacement for Ninject or for Castle Windsor or all those great, or even for MEF or whatever. It's really super lean. The idea is to say that's what I want to use for my view model locator. If you want to use it for IOC, you know, for dependency injection, feel free. It's actually going to implement the iService Locator interface, mm-hmm. which is the common interface that all the major service locators or IOC containers implement. So it's very easy to swap it for another one.
I think the cool thing about this is that you're not only going to get the reduction in code, but it's not going to be hard to use. It's not going to be like, no. I have to learn some new concept to
no,
go through
really
this.
No. I'm keeping that really super simple. The registration is very simple. The resolution is very simple as well.
That's the greatest part about your toolkit, by the way, is everything getting into here, any feature I haven't used, it takes me maybe 10 minutes to understand what you're doing.
Well, you know, one thing which is missing is documentation for sure. So yes. I get emails from people saying, hey, you know, I want to start up and I'm not sure where.
You need the white book coming out, Laurent.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something is in the works, but cool. It's a little bit too early to talk about that. Maybe I have more to say about that at Mix, cool. definitely. But yeah, something is coming up. I have an idea for a unified documentation concept that I want to write. So that will be a big step.
I love the whole IOC container idea there.
Yeah.
We've also got the view model base, which it sounds like it's just a base class, but there's some really important stuff in there.
Yeah, the major thing here is, and that was really by popular request, because myself, I never really had a big issue with declaring my property names as a string and then raising the property change event using that. I actually use constants for that, so that the magic string effect is really reduced to the maximum.
We're talking about the INPC, the iNotifier property change interface.
Exactly.
Which can get monotonous. And you've got some snippets.
I have some snippets. Yeah, exactly. So using that with the snippets is actually quite easy to do that. But anyway, there is a way to simplify the code by using some reflection, where basically you can deduct the or find out the name of the property by you know, analyzing the caller. So I have implemented that already. So that's already in CodePlex. That was by popular demand. The response so far is good. People are satisfied with that.
And the performance of using reflection in this case, I mean, it all depends upon your project size and how much you're using
it. Yeah, very much, and it depends on the environment in which you're running, so definitely on the phone it will have more of an impact. But I made some measurements already. I'm not quite ready to publish that because I'm still analyzing.
Right.
I have to say I was surprised myself to see that the impact is really small. I think the impact of actuating the binding is actually bigger than the whole reflection thing which is going on. So even for the phone, actually, I made measurements on the phone as well, and I found differences which were quite minimal. So yeah, I would say, you know, feel free to use it. Keep in mind that reflection means a small loss of performance, so keep in mind that. But if you want the old ways, it's still there. So
yeah, and there's
no
nothing
problem.
Wrong with, as you mentioned, using strings,
sure.
especially the code snippets. Yep. I use constants as well, just like you do.
Yeah.
But if you want to use lambdas, I know there's been a growing movement to go down that road.
Yeah, yeah.
At least now you have that option.
Yeah, that's true. And in that regard, actually, I'm going to poll because there are also some implementations allowing to use some, for example, post-processing solutions like post-charps and marking your properties as attributes. Personally, I have to say I'm not a huge fan of that because I just find that it's too much of a fuss for the gain that you have in the end.
I agree, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it's another option at least. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just going to prepare a poll. I'm going to blog about that when it's ready. You know, people can maybe vote about that, and that might come in a future version. Maybe
so this is a great opportunity because a lot of these features, while some of them you have ready for version 4, some of them you're not sure if you're actually going to include. So this poll will be a great opportunity for the community, for all of you to chime in and let them know what you think.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, most of the features here are actually, you know, feedback from the community anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, we are continuing to do that anyway.
Well, it's good.
Sure.
And we've got a huge list here. The Messenger, one of my favorite classes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some changes you're making there.
Sure. So Messenger is pretty mature, I would say. So I'm really changing just a couple of
Can
things.
Can you explain real quick for those who may not know what Messenger is real fast?
Yeah, so Messenger is an implementation of a pattern which is called Event Bus or Event Aggregator or something like that, which is basically a way to send a message from one object to broadcast the message if you want. And for the recipient can actually subscribe to the type of message that he wants to receive.
Right.
And then you have additional ways to register where you can say, okay, I want to register for this type of object, but also if this token is present in the signature of the method, for example.
So, yeah, and a place I use it in one of my Twitter apps to help explain some of it is when I log, actually I have a cache clearing button in my Twitter app. When I clear the cache on one particular view, I may want to let every other view that might still be open somewhere know, hey, look, you know, don't cache anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be nobody listening, or there could be seven other views listening.
And the sender doesn't have to know about that, which is the major thing.
Fire and forget.
Exactly. So I use that myself in the phone for tombstoning, for example, where basically the application class will send a message to the view models. And it's very easy to add a new view model because you just have to register for the message, but the app itself doesn't have to know squid.
And it's got weak references implemented.
Exactly.
It's very, very clean. So, yeah. Sorry, I was interrupting you. The changes
Fine.
You made.
Sure. So, the changes, I'm just going to, I was, shown a couple of bugs in the way that the events are registered. So, it's really very much internal plumbing. So, okay. I'm going to just solve that. So, the messenger itself is not going to change. What's going to be added is a message trigger.
Message trigger, okay.
Yeah. So triggers are something which are, the Blend team came up with, system windows interactivity.dll. You have to add that to your project. And then
some people call them behaviors, but yeah, it's really a
exactly.
trigger.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you have behaviors, you have triggers and actions, right?
Right.
So triggers are something like a sensor. So they can be triggered, right, by something happening, right? Like, for example, you have in the box, you have an event trigger. So when an event is happening, mm-hmm. the actions will be executed.
So what would happen in the, as an example, what's something that could happen in the UI mm-hmm. that you'd want to trigger?
Well, you could want, for example, so again, right, you have those triggers and actions. So the mm-hmm. triggers are sensors and the actions are actuators. Mm-hmm. So when the trigger is triggered, it will invoke all the actions, whatever they are.
Right.
So after that, you have a number of actions that you can add. For example, in the box, there is a property change action where you can go ahead and identify an element by name, for example, and change a property on that. There is something which allows you to start a storyboard, to start an animation, for example. There are actions that allow you to maybe to change a visual state, for example, things like that. Or you can write your own. It's actually very easy, as I show in Silverlight 4 Unleashed, for example, my book.
Minor plug here.
Yeah, well, how to write your own behaviors, your own triggers, your own actions.
Right.
Very easy to do. It's fully blendable, so it's very nice to use. So the idea here is to say when a message is sent, for example, with a token,
right.
Then I want to trigger my actions. And this will
you might send a message from maybe some view model's done processing, getting data, or
yep.
some other save operation.
Mm-hmm.
The view model's not in the view. It's not
nope.
in the UI.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to somehow send a message
yep.
using a messenger
exactly.
to the UI. To XAML
mm-hmm.
say, hey, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the message trigger can then step in.
Yeah, exactly. And invoke actions which do whatever you want.
Storyboards, visual
yeah.
state manager, whatever else you might
whatever
want to
do. Whatever else you want to do.
Blink tags.
Yeah, exactly. So
don't
that's
use a blink tag.
Well, you can, right?
Yes.
So that will be a nice improvement, I think. So this one is coming up, maybe by Mix if I have time, maybe a little bit after that, I'm not sure yet.
That'd be a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, speaking of Mix, we've
yeah.
got a lot of other features. I know you're going to go over a lot of this stuff. You've
sure.
got an open call session. You were voted in to speak at Mix 11
yes.
this year. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was really, and again, I'm very grateful of mm-hmm. having the chance to do that. I have to say I was a bit nervous about that, because when I saw the list of sessions, first of all, the sheer number was
huge
impressive.
This year, yes.
217, something like that.
It was insane.
And
I had to read them all.
Yeah, yeah. And not just that, but the quality. I mean, I decided yes. not to talk about my vote because I didn't want to alienate friendships, right? But I have to tell you, it was super hard to choose the 10 or 11 people that I gave my vote to. It was really hard.
And a lot of the ones I personally voted for, I only cast one vote for each.
Yeah.
And for each of those, I voted for something that I wanted to learn from.
Yeah.
So some of the sessions I voted for, things I don't even have technology interest in
mm-hmm.
In every day, but things are like, wow, that sounds like really cool to figure out. I
mm-hmm.
noticed there's another MVVM session too, from Zoltan.
Yeah. But the validation, right? Validation
yes.
with MVVM, exactly. So as a result, what I will do is avoid talking about validation, because I don't want to overlap
right.
too much, right? So. Anyway, I'm going to connect with him and make sure that.
And your talk will your talk is going to be a follow up of last year's talk that you did, so it's not the same.
Yeah, no, it's not the same at all. So,
right.
what I'm going to do is really last year we did the basics of mm-hmm. MVVM, so it was really understanding the MVVM pattern. You don't know anything about it. You come to my session and you go back having an idea of what you do, and then
right.
you start programming, and then the thing happens. Which is that basically you start wondering, like, okay, how do I do this special case?
Yeah,
so
yep.
Obviously, in 60 minutes, I didn't have time to talk about those advanced scenarios, right?
Right.
So the second talk this year is really, step two.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do a deep dive, and that's the title of the session, Deep Dive MVVM. And I'm going to talk about all the questions that I got through emails, through my blog, comments, etc.
Like,
over
your pattern
the past
is
year.
Great, but I want to do this, or I
exactly.
want to do that.
How
do I trigger
do
a storyboard?
That? Exactly. How do you do that? How do you, for example, have, start animations? How do you ask as a user a question?
So
how
for
do
folks
you...
looking to learn about MVVM at Mix, there's actually three opportunities for you. The boot camp. I'm doing a Silverlight boot camp with Mike Talty, the day before Mix Proper. It's during our boot camp sessions. And in that, one of the 3 hours we're doing 3 hours of content. One of the hours is kind of getting started with MVVM and then learning how to do it with both phone and Silverlight. And then that's a great precursor to jump into Laurent's talk or to Zoltan's talk later in the week, which they have 1 hour sessions through
Mix
Proper.
Yep.
And there you are, me and you, both of you.
Yeah, I was, and as I was saying before, I'm in sandwich between John Papa and Scott Goo, so that's a real geek fest.
I noticed a pattern. There's balding, a slightly receding. You've got too much hair to be on this
page.
Yeah,
because you don't see from the top. So.
So that's great. And you're also going to be at Mix doing a new thing called Open Source Fest.
Exactly, yeah. Super excited about that. Great initiative, really. So thank you for putting that together.
We've got 35 different... Open Source Fest is an open source festival, basically. A party. The first night of Mix, after the boot camps. And guys like Laurent are going to come there, and they're going to have a table to show off their open source code. We've got 35 different open source projects so far. Mm-hmm. Expecting more. I'm going to try to fit as many as we possibly can. And in there, you're going to be able to vote. The community is going to vote for your favorite open source project.
Oh, sweet, yeah.
And I'm not going to give all the details of how we're going to do that or what's going to be given away, but we're going to give something special away.
Sweet, yeah.
It's all about
these. Yeah, it's very exciting. And I may add, if I can, that MVVM Lite Toolkit was actually selected by the 90 Awards.
Yes, I saw it up there as well.
By Channel 9. And so it's one of the Codeplex projects.
It's great.
So if people want to vote for it, I'm always grateful. So just go to the Channel 9 website and you can cast your vote there. So yeah, it's a big year, actually. I'm pretty excited about
it. It's good. MVVM's a nice pattern to get into. It's not hard, I don't think.
No,
I think you've really simplified it with your toolkit.
Yeah, and again, it's really just a pattern. So, you know, the way that you do it, you can really adapt it to your needs.
Sure.
And the idea is really to, I think, to have fun and to have the most efficient use of what you want to do, right?
Hey, Laurent, thanks for coming on.
Hey,
really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, John.
And keep up
appreciate
the great work.
Invitation. Thank you.
And thank you all for watching Silverlight TV.